What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to the follow-up of our SmackDown Moment mock draft podcast here on Smack Talk. We did the Elimination Chamber picks for the most recent mock draft, and now we're going to roll into our fantasy booking side of things. If you don't know who we are, I'm Tony Mango, joined as always by Callum Wiggins.
Hello.
And Robert E. Felice.
Hey.
And as always, we want to thank you for joining us, and we want to know what you have to say about what we are going to be talking about here as part two of our main event for this week. So drop your thoughts in the comment section below. Make sure that you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Make sure you click that little notification bell, get that email alert set up for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view point post show coming up next week, immediately following the event, which that'll be something like 11 o'clock in the morning or noon or something. I don't know. Might be a better time for some people to join us that they don't normally do. And then some other people are probably going to be like, yeah, there's no fucking way that I'm going to be there because I got work or I've got, you know, sleep or whatever it might be. But we've got that going on for more Elimination Chamber talk. Of course, we're also going to do our predictions and preview stuff as the next podcast that you're going to be hearing from us actually next week. But in the meantime, we do have the follow-up of this Elimination Chamber mock draft. So still keep all that stuff in mind though. Click the join button. Join the Darkcast tier to get the What If Cody Rhodes Would Have Won Last Year podcast, Redbubble, TeePublic, Patreon, thanks button, so on and so forth. The hell, I'll just keep this going. Join the Discord and fanboysanonymous.com. There you go. To the mock draft side of things, we have done a bunch of these. You probably know how this works, but if you don't, here's the TLDR, the whole thing. We picked our rosters based off of everybody who has competed in an Elimination Chamber match so far. Also, by the way, a quick little plug, if you want to check out some statistics and trivia and records and all, there's a page up for that now on the website. So the Royal Rumble stats page, the Money in the Bank stats page, and now the Elimination Chamber one. I did get a request to do a breakdown of every time that the pods were broken, which it's going to take a while for me to maybe get around to that. But I do have some crunched numbers as far as who's been in the most matches, who's eliminated the most people, the back and forth of titles that have changed hands and all. There are a lot of variations of Elimination Chamber matches that we've had. Primarily, a belt's on the line, or it's a number one contenders match. But today, you might end up seeing some completely different ideas, because all three of us have booked Elimination Chamber cards, and we all probably have different approaches to this. I don't want us to spoil too much, but I'll say I booked all Elimination Chamber matches, and I actually booked two different cards because one of them I was like, let me try to do six, and then one of them I was like, let me try to do five instead. Without spoiling too much, what was your approach when you were looking at your mock draft rosters and saying, all right, where do I start?
I started with some ideas of some fun spots for specific people. Realized that, golly, Elimination Chambers take a lot of people. And I kind of ended up with a mishmash card that I'm happy with, but I think, given the nature of my roster, will lead to some head scratches.
I started by saying that in my universe, Elimination Chamber takes place before SummerSlam.
Oh. Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
That is also smart.
Because if the Royal Rumble is determining challenges for WrestleMania, then Elimination Chamber should determine the challenges for SummerSlam.
I mean, I'm totally down for that. They should have that kind of approach.
There was just no Royal Rumble. Because Callum touches on a great point here. I tried to do the idea of a Royal Rumble winner and a second championship, and I just couldn't get it done. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Royal Rumble for this moment in time doesn't exist.
See, I didn't even think that far ahead. I was just like, all right, let's just assume I'm going into this and just building a card. Like, I didn't do any kind of pre-idea of, like, who would be the Royal Rumble winner and the champion and settling on an extraneous thing. Because I was just like, I'm only working with this group. If you told me everybody is out of the mix and you only have this people to work with, then where do you start? And I mean, I started with the easiest thing for me was to just be like, all right, well, those six women are in that match. So there you go. That's one match down. But I thought that this was actually a pretty overall an easy thing to book because of how little options we have and how we're already set for, like, all right, there has to be at least one Elimination Chamber match. We know six people are going into that. Then you can kind of book outside of that, and you don't have all the options available to you. Do you guys find this easy or difficult? Middle of the road?
I found it easy in the sense that you're kind of constrained and you have to do a certain thing, but I also found it a little dull. It's like, okay, yeah, this will be a good match and this will be fine, but it's almost like randomizing exhibition mode on a video game in a way. And yeah, wasn't my favorite exercise, but one that I still think I had got a few good shots in.
Yeah, it was fairly straightforward once I decided on a particular theme for certain. I went a little bit like left field with one of the matches, but other than that, I think that, as I say, once you have these slightly smaller drafts, it does make you think a little bit more clearly than if you have so many options available to you, you can kind of cloud your judgment. So this one, it's kind of easier to go with what your initial gut instinct is and just go with it, really.
Does anybody want to volunteer to start, or do you want me to go? Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I'm going to start because, again, it's...
Get out of the way.
Mine is the basis of it really is just a card. So it's Elimination Chamber. We start off with the kickoff show. There's a six-man tag. It's Carlito, Primo, and Ethico, the Colognes, against a team, for the purposes of this exercise, I will call Meat and Muscle. Chris Masters, Big Daddy V, and the Great Khali. For this instance, we're still calling him Big Daddy V because that's a great name for no reason. We're giving him World's Largest Love Machine gimmick. Khali is very Kiss Cam Khali. And the heels, which would be the Masters team, will get the win here. But a lot of that would be kind of fun and cheeky. I imagine the build to this would be like, maybe this team is on vacation in Puerto Rico, where the Colognes haven't had, you know, the advertising people to come to Puerto Rico, the Shining Star of the Caribbean. I don't know. That's,
I hate that was their fucking gimmick for a while.
Were they not like timeshare salesmen?
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, who signed off on that?
So that's my thought process there. And it's a fun, easy match, but the Masters team will get the win. And that's your kickoff show. So it's a lot of people, you know.
Your selling point to open your show is, what if these two, the big, largest love machine and the Great Khali Kiss Cam and Chris Masters, were on vacation in Puerto Rico?
Lie to me right now and tell you that's not something you would see on the pre-show.
I would hope not.
They did WLC, for God's sake.
That was good.
But we get into the actual show, and the first match is the Women's Elimination Chamber, with the winner getting a Women's Championship match at WrestleMania. My match would be Naomi, Ruby Riott, Peyton Royce, Bliss, Billie Kay, and Liv Morgan. I have Naomi winning, last eliminating Liv, and Naomi going to WrestleMania. I'm genuinely sad that she's back in WWE, because I think she's doing great in TNA, and I hope we get a glimpse of that run with her in WWE.
So did you think anything about like the structure of the Elimination Chamber? Like yes. Who would go first, who would go second, that kind of thing?
Yeah, is it made out of metal or wood?
It's made out of...
How much miles of chain is there?
It's 10 tons of steel. Was it like 3 miles of chain or something?
2 miles.
Thank you.
Chain.
Thank you. I was trying to channel the inner Eric Bischoff. But I mainly thought about who would start the match. Like, I have Naomi starting with Ruby, because I think that would be like a fun starter. I have the Iconics separated by the entrance of Bliss.
And, we always have to not say the first name.
Yeah, because I'm not triggering my Echo.
Echo Bliss, there you go.
And I have Liv Morgan coming out in the end. She's this Liv Morgan. She's not Riot Squad Morgan. And for that matter, Ruby, I might as well call her Ruby Soho, because I didn't think that the Riot Squad did much in WWE. But yeah, Naomi's going to Mania. And this is one of the rare ones where I used everybody on my card. And I already knew what I would want for my fictional WrestleMania in this universe. But before that, we get an Intercontinental Championship Belfast Brawl. I did do the thing I didn't think I was going to do. And it's Finlay coming in as champion, losing it to Sheamus, who can finally say he's won the Intercontinental title. I love Finlay. He loves to fight. I think Finlay's WWE run is a little underrated, like specifically that first like 6 months in 06. I enjoy a good brawl. I think Sheamus rules. I did a total 180 on Sheamus in recent years. And I think this would be a really fun match with Sheamus finally winning the one championship he's never won.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy that match. I'll say I'm a big fan of Finlay's work from his short but good run in WWE before the Leprechaun got involved too much.
No Hornswoggle here.
And then, him and Sheamus, I'm sure, would beat the shit out of each other and have a good Belfast brawl.
Here's the most meme match I could probably book on this card. It's an Extreme Elimination Chamber for the WWE Tag Team Championship. The Shield kick it off with Ziggler and Rude. Two solid teams that can just kind of set the pace. Buzzer goes off. It's champions Miz and Morrison. They are more of your cowardly heels, but they can like attack everybody when they're down, kind of thing. Edge and Christian are number four in this match. They're going to win this match. I think that they'd have a lot of fun here. I imagine, given the Extreme Elimination Chamber, you're going to get your TLC in there. Someone's going to have a kendo stick. The Ascension's here. Maybe they can bring like chains or something.
Not enough chains already in the match.
Not enough chains. No, I realized that as I was saying the word chains.
Now, did they bring the like metal chains or do they bring the wrestler?
They definitely did not bring. Definitely did not bring Brian Lee. And my sixth team would be Testa Mike Knox. Throwback to WWE ECW, but I really enjoyed that brief window where they were teaming, and I think Test is probably one of my favorite big man wrestlers.
Oh, I know what their tag team name is then.
I was just going to ask if anybody had any ideas. Go for it.
Mike Test.
See, I was thinking School of Hard Knocks, and it's Test. Either way, it works. Instead of test, this is a test. It's testing, 1, 2, 3.
God. No, this is a fun match. I'm going to give the win to Edge and Christian here. They'll go into an extended feud with Miz and Morrison, which would be a lot of campy dirt sheets, campy 5-second poses. Honestly, this match hurt me the most. For obvious reasons. Because you got Edge, Christian, Ziggler,
Shield,
Ambrose, and Rollins. So all six of those guys alone could have made wonderful additions to a world championship level chamber and then changed the flow of the thing. But I said, you know what? If I just put Edge in a chamber with Hardy and Hunter and Punk, it's been done before. Same thing with Christian. So I ultimately went with this because like that's kind of playing into more of the fantasy realm of like you never see this. And I almost did just a straight up Edge and Christian against the Shield, Edge and Christian against Miz and Morrison. But I decided to go with this route just to get everybody on the card. And the next match is going to be a triple threat for the women's championship. You've got Bianca Belair defending against Bayley and Natalya. And Bianca Belair is going to win and face Naomi at WrestleMania. I think that'd be a banger match. I expect them to do that match now that Naomi's back. I almost did Bayley winning the chamber. I thought about Natty being a good person to go to Mania because I think she kind of deserves that Kofi Mania-esque run where, yeah, everybody knows Natty's there, but you know, nobody, she's never actually had like a moment, and I think she deserves like a big WrestleMania moment. So I thought about that, but ultimately I want to see Bianca against Naomi, and I would like to see what they can do in my fictional world with it, where this would never happen at WrestleMania.
I would personally, just because if we're going with the idea that the Elimination Chamber is kind of like a quote-unquote B show before WrestleMania in your universe, I probably would have personally done Bianca versus Peyton Royce and Billie Kay in a triple threat match.
You know why?
Because then you could tell the story of those two working together to try and take down Bianca, but then also trying to get in each other's way because both of them want to be the champion. And then you can add Bayley and Natalya to the Elimination Chamber to give it a bit more star power.
That's brilliant. I like that. You know what? I'm not going to change it on the fly here, but that's a much better idea, I think, honestly. Because, yeah, that's essentially what I'm going for here. And
it is like kind of difficult to have like the odd person out since you have one extra woman in there. So having the triple threat versus having somebody just kind of sit out or something. Yeah, there's a couple different ways you could do that.
Yeah, I like that. I really do like that, though. Thank you, Cal. So this one I'm calling Bray Wyatt's Elimination Chamber of Horrors, because the winner is going to face Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. It's Jeff Hardy, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Samoa Joe, Triple H, and Goldberg.
Not bad lineup.
This is a lot of where the star power is, and I'll walk you through my thought process a little bit, because originally it was going to be maybe Wyatt's in the chamber and Goldberg and Joe are fighting for the title on the card, and then Hunter wins to fight Joe at Mania. But then I thought Wyatt as champion and doing this like Chamber of Horror ideas and like constantly, you know, lights out, lights on, there's another weapon in the ring.
Like,
you know, no, we're not doing that. That's we're not doing. But like every occasionally lights go out, lights come back on. Maybe now there's a sledgehammer for Triple H to use if he can get to, you know, kind of thing. Where I really think that this is probably the best lineup I could have gone with, given all the work that I had done for the men's tag team match. And I'm going to go with, for the winner here, I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes. If sentimentally, I'll say this, I can save Goldberg and Joe for my Mania. Maybe do Punk and Triple H at Mania. There's Jeff Hardy can go on and fight Seth Rollins. Jeff Hardy can fight Dean Ambrose. There's plenty of different matchups there. But I had really thought that we would get to see Bray Wyatt versus this Cody Rhodes. And I thought we'd be able to get to pull that off. And obviously, circumstances as they have been will not be happening that way. And I'm going to do that in my fantasy world. So it'll be Cody Rhodes versus Bray Wyatt, WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Probably, like I said, Joe versus Goldberg, because that is an idea that I locked in almost immediately. Again, you could do Triple H against Ambrose. You could do Triple H against Rollins. You could, you know, there's so many different things you can play with here, but I think I'd say Cody Rhodes versus Bray Wyatt. And again, not one of my like deepest thought ideas. Like there was no, I didn't do sketches with Big Daddy V and Great Khali on the beaches in Puerto Rico. Probably would have been a good time, but
it's an interesting approach that your card revolves around the main event being to challenge the champion, and you didn't book Bray Wyatt on the card the way that you booked Bianca.
Well, yeah, because I looked at my roster and I said, oops, you're out of people. And rather than like throw Carlito or Masters in a chamber so I can have Bray Wyatt against Triple H, I just said, okay, it's Bray Wyatt will be controlling the horrors inside the chamber in a very like games master kind of way.
Pros and cons, different thoughts you got. What would you say, Callum? What's your highlight low point for Rob's card?
Well, it's pretty obvious what the low point is. It's Big Daddy V visiting Puerto Rico.
I mean, hey, he is the world's largest love machine and the shining star of the Caribbean. There's some magic to be made here, people.
I don't know. I kind of like the Extreme Elimination Chamber idea. The tag team match looks pretty stacked, so yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that one.
Yeah, I think I'd lean more towards the thing that would like hook me the most would be like, how is Bray Wyatt going to make this a chamber of horrors? And then it's a good group of people going up against each other, and I think Cody Rhodes would be the best option for that role for that particular reason, to be like, okay, well, we didn't get to see that, you know, and we got the idea of like that second generation thing going on. Like, that would set up a really solid main event for WrestleMania, I would think.
So, like, my idea would be, all right, so Jeff Hardy and Punk started it, right? So, lights out, lights on. Oh, God. There's, like, because, look, this is, they've done this with Jeff Hardy how many times? There's, like, oh, there's all this alcohol in the ring and all these different things that Jeff now has to confront his demons, and maybe Punk can be straight into society Punk and he's like toying with him in that way. You know, when Cody gets in there and it's time for Wyatt to control the next item that goes into the cage, maybe it's a bull rope and he has to start dealing with the whole, oh my God, that's my dad's thing and now I'm feeling emotional. Like, there's different ways to manipulate people's biggest fears or their, you know, their weakest spots mentally, and you kind of throw that into a match.
Yeah, I could see that being a fun one. And then, you know, you have to go through that to get to fight Bray and kind of like face your fears before you face Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, like it's kind of like, you know, going through the gauntlet of your own mind before you face Bray Wyatt.
Do you have any other like alternative ideas that you were kind of bouncing around?
Oh yeah, like I said, Joe versus Goldberg just being like a straight up battle, and then, you know, doing, if that had been the match, Triple H would have gone on to face Joe. I thought about doing, you know, Edge versus Ambrose. I thought about doing maybe, there is a Royal Rumble winner, and it's either Rollins or Ambrose, but one has gotten the other one to put the title shot on the line, and they're fighting one-on-one instead. I thought about doing Bray Wyatt with the Ascension as kind of like this wasteland faction against, you know, three dudes, but I couldn't think of a compelling trio to put them up against. I wasn't going to put them up against the Colognes. I feel like that would have been a waste of Bray Wyatt. I thought about doing, you know, maybe Liv Morgan, Bianca, just one-on-one and like this baby face match. I thought about, you know, putting Finlay in the chamber and like putting Finlay in there with guys like Hunter and Goldberg and just letting him have a moment in the sun. I did actually think about a lot of different things, including, you know, do you give us that match of Bobby Roode, Triple H? Like, it's probably only a dream match for me at this stage in the game. But yeah, like I wanted to see it at one point. And I thought about, you know, Wyatt with Bliss in some kind of a Chamber of Horrors deal. Like there was quite a few ideas that entered my brain, including do we throw Big Daddy V and Kali into a chamber just to go, haha, look, they can't fit.
we're going to come back to that.
I'm sure. you know, so like, yeah, again, not my favorite, but it was a nice small little exercise.
I'm always tempted every time that we do these to, if I ever have the time to like go and let me see what I would have done with this crew and, you know, kind of do that. So maybe you'll see in the future some ideas that I might have based off of this and stuff. Well, you know, same for everybody else if has other ideas that we could toss out here. But I have a feeling that I probably would not have come to that same conclusion, but I do like the idea of the whole like Wyatt Chamber of Horrors thing. So I think I like that better than probably what I would have come up with. Do you want to go next, Calum, or do you want me to go?
I can take you. Yeah.
Alrighty, I'm going to switch back to our generic matchmaker graphic so I don't spoil it for everybody. We'll show you back on that card a little bit later for anybody that's watching on YouTube. All right, go ahead. Okay.
So start with the kickoff match. Because I did have some people that couldn't unfortunately fit into any of the bigger matches on the show. So this is going to be, takes a bit of explaining. So on one side, it's pretty obvious the Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado. So you've got Lucha House Party, who's the babyface, fun Lucha tag team on one side. And then the other side, it's Umaga and Elias.
Huh?
On what grounds?
Well, the story of that tag team is that they're doing a music Soothes the Savage Beast gimmick.
All right.
So Elias plays the guitar and Umaga is entranced by the guitar music. And so now he has a killer monster to be his tag team partner.
So it's Festus.
Pretty much, in some ways. Well, Umaga still, like, he doesn't need to have the guitar to get switched on, but he needs to hear the guitar in order to be friendly with the Elias. And then that starts the whole long-term story of eventually Umaga breaking the guitar and breaking free of the shackles of Elias being his, like, holder, essentially. But this match wouldn't be the start of that. This is just a kickoff match where it would probably happen at SummerSlam later on, but they would just, you know, win this match, beat up Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado. They can do some fun stuff with Elias, but then Umaga does get in and just destroys them in the way that Umaga would do. So yeah, I thought this was just like a fun little tag team match to put on the start.
Was this the last thing that you had booked, or was this somewhere in the middle, or where'd you come across the Umaga and Elias idea?
It's when I decided that I just couldn't find a place to put Umaga in any of the War Games matches, in War Games Elimination Chamber matches. So once I decided, oh, I can't really fit him anywhere, then I've got Elias, because I was never going to do much with Elias. And I was always going to probably keep Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado even a tag team, or put them in some sort of cruiserweight thing. So I decided, oh, okay, this is probably the best fit I could do, because otherwise I'd end up teaming Elias with, like, Wade Barrett or something, and I didn't really feel like doing that. Then we moved on to the show opening in the same similar vein to Rob's. It starts with the Women's Elimination Chamber match to determine the number one contender for the title at SummerSlam. So my one is Sasha Banks, Sonya Deville, Nikki Cross, Tamina, Piper Niven, and Valhalla. Obviously, I've got Sarah Logan, but I'm going to make her Valhalla because it's a slightly more interesting gimmick.
Yeah, Sarah Logan has no gimmick. She's just a loser. That's
it. Yeah. So kind of the story of this match is that it starts off with Sasha Banks and Sonya Deville, and they go for a while, then you eventually start to stack up with, first you get Nikki Cross come in, and then Valhalla comes in. I probably wouldn't have many like media eliminations in this one. I'd probably wait until pretty much everyone's getting, because I'd have Tamina come in, be a bit of a powerhouse, just like throwing people around, and then Piper Niven comes in, and then you have the two bigger women go at each other, and eventually Piper Niven and Nikki Cross, who I see as like a tag team in this universe, have Piper Niven as more of a babyface character, because I kind of prefer that to the heel stuff she's been doing. They work together to eliminate Tamina, and then with Piper Niven you can do the whole spot of everyone hits a finisher on Piper and then she eventually goes down. Then Valhalla gets eliminated by Sasha Banks, Sonya Deville eliminates Nikki Cross, and so the two people that started the match are also the two last people in the match as well. And eventually Sasha Banks defeats Sonya Deville to earn the title match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, this is that classic, golly, there's only one logical winner of this chamber.
I mean, realistically, yeah. I want to make the women's match, the women's title match that we'll talk about later, at least a little bit more realistic. But yeah, I thought that it doesn't really matter too much if, as long as it gets to the right conclusion, which should be Sasha fighting a Big Show for the title.
Sasha's fighting Big Show?
Fighting on a Big Show.
Yeah, Big Show on your card.
Yeah, I do have Big Show on my card, yeah. So, then after that, so that was the Women's Elimination Chamber, first of three chamber matches on my show as well. Then we have the United States Championship match, MVP defending against R-Truth. I kind of thought that MVP is kind of very synonymous with the United States Championship, and R-Truth's always a lot of fun. And I also wanted to have a title change on this show, so I just have R-Truth being MVP for the title. And R-Truth is kind of doing the comedy gimmick, but he's not like over the top comedy gimmick. So maybe he has little Jimmy in his corner. That'd probably be to the extent of it, rather than forgetting that he's fighting for that title, and he's calling it the United Airways Championship or whatever, something like that. Is it United Airlines or United Airways? Don't know.
Airways, I think.
You know, it is United Airways. Yeah, so he calls it the 7-Eleven United Airways Championship or something. I don't really care. But yeah, just thought it would be a nice little fun match between those two. Very like 2010s WWE, that one. You know the glory days.
Everybody's favorite era. It's the new golden era.
Yeah. Then we have for the actual women's championship match, Shayna Baszler defending against Mickie James. So this is as it should be. This is NXT era. Shayna Baszler just ripping off arms and taking names, and Mickie James is the babyface in this situation, the veteran that's trying to take the title off of her. I think they'd have a good match with each other. We never really saw this match in any sort of real prominence. I don't know if we even actually saw this match in general when Mickey was in WWE at the same time Shayna was.
If we did, it was probably just like some random episode of Raw or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so this would be built up with the proper kind of respect that it deserves to. But eventually, Shayna Baszler would retain her championship over Mickey James, force her to tap out to the Kerfuda clutch, and then you could have Sasha Banks appear on the ramp to stare down Shayna Baszler, let her know that she's coming for the title at SummerSlam. So, but yeah, I think those two would mesh up quite well together. I think it'd be quite an old school match. You do Baszler versus James.
I'd be down to see it. Two people that I'm a big fan of, and you give them some proper spotlighting where they're not just kind of having a match on Monday Night Raw for the sake of it, and you know, like, Shayna's not fallen down the pecking order in your universe, I'm sure. So
no. Then we have the kind of the more unique match on this show. So it's an Elimination Chamber War Games match. So how this works is the two people start the match, and then there is a tag team in each pod. And after every starts off with like 5 minutes for the first two, and then every 2 minutes beyond that point, someone from the pod enters the match. But unlike a traditional War Games match where you have to have everyone in the ring before it starts, in this you can eliminate anybody at any time. So it's like, you know, Rob, how they in older, some of the old wrestling video games, they do Elimination Chamber tornado tag team matches.
Yeah.
It's essentially that, just with five people rather than five people on each team rather than three people on each team.
I like that. And you thought about it enough to think, I'll start it out with two people and then have, you know, a tag team in each pod, so you still maximize the use of the pods. Makes a lot of sense.
So this one would be on the babyface side, would be Rob Van Dam, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. And on the heel side is Wade Barrett, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Darren Young, and Titus O'Neil. So this is kind of like original era prime time players where they were the heel guys with Abraham Washington as their manager. Obviously, he wouldn't be saying stuff at ringside because we know where that leads. This is heel Jimmy Jey Uso from either the Bloodline or whether it's just the day one-ish stuff, whichever approach you want to take. They're the tag team champions, and Wade Barrett is the Intercontinental champion, because Wade Barrett is typically the Intercontinental champion in most situations when he was in WWE. And then you have the New Day on the other side. Kevin and Sami Zayn are a tag team, and then Rob Van Dam is the leader of it, and he's chasing after the Intercontinental championship. So essentially, you start with Rob Van Dam and Wade Barrett as the leaders of their teams in the ring, and then eventually, like, the heel team comes in first, so you get Darren Young in, and then you get members of the New Day, so you have the New Day and the Primetime Players feuding. So you essentially, maybe you can mix it up a little bit, you get one member of the Primetime Players comes in, then a member of the New Day, then maybe Sami Zayn, and then Jimmy Uso comes in, or Jimmy Uso and then Sami Zayn. And then you might get some eliminations of some of the members. I imagine that both both members of the New Day and both members of the Primetime Players are eliminated prior to other people getting involved. Maybe you lose then Sami Zayn, so then it's just Kevin Owens and RVD versus Wade Barrett and both of the Usos. They have to come from behind in order to claim the victory. So I'd have, like, Kevin Owens manages to eliminate one of the Usos, RVD gets to take someone else out. I'd almost have, like, both RVD and Kevin Owens managing to overcome both, like, all the odds and take out all three members, so they're standing tall at the end of it. Maybe, like, at the end, you just have Wade Barrett standing, like, in between both of those two, and he's just begging off for mercy. And Owens just hits him with a pop-up powerbomb. RVD goes right to the top of the chamber, hits a five-star frog splash, gets the victory. And then that helps set up matches at SummerSlam between the New Day versus Primetime Players, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the tag titles, and RVD versus Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship.
That was really well thought out. I like that one a lot. That might be my favorite so far.
Then we had, like, because that was kind of a big match, we'll have a bit more of, like, a palate cleanser, but still a fun match, but something that won't be as intense to watch, which is a Cruiserweight Championship Fatal 4-Way match. So you have the champion Tyson Kidd defending against Johnny Gargano, Kalisto, and Sin Cara. So in this universe, Kalisto's heel, as well as Tyson Kidd, and Kalisto and Sin Cara used to be the Lucha Dragons, but Kalisto, I'll say he got sick of Sin Cara botching or whatever, I don't know. But,
he wants to do a bad Lucha thing now.
Yeah. So essentially, yeah, he was annoyed about, like, they couldn't manage to win the tag title, so he turned on him, so he's now just being a bit more, he's wearing the fedora all the time. That's kind of what makes him heel, is the fedora.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Johnny Gargano's, like, a big baby face, same as Sin Cara, and Tyson Kidd's a heel. I'd have Tyson Kidd just retain his title here, because you'd have him get, like, the pin on Sin Cara, maybe, and then you would lead into Kalisto versus Sin Cara, maybe being a kickoff match on SummerSlam, and Tyson Kidd defending it one-on-one against Johnny Gargano at SummerSlam. Then we have the WWE Championship match. Kurt Angle is champion, defending against Cesaro.
You damn right he is.
Because, like, that'd be super fun.
Yeah, that's the kind of match I expect you to book. Tommy Callum has a card.
Yeah, if you're going to put those two in a match, like, you know it's going to be a good one.
And how I see this match kind of ending is that I think that you basically tell the story throughout the match of Cesaro trying to get the swing on Angle, but Angle is able to, like, wrestle his way out of it over and over again. And then you kind of get into a situation where Angle, they've done all their big stuff, like, he's kicked out of multiple moves. You told the story, like, Cesaro valiantly battling against Angle, who's either the smaller guy but has just been out wrestling him throughout, and then he eventually is able to get the swing on. But during the swing, Angle is somehow able to transition his body to reach for the ankle of Cesaro, stop the swing by grabbing at the ankle and then wrapping it into the grapevine. And then eventually Cesaro tries to pull himself forward, but eventually he just can't do it. Angle's just got too much of a vice on him and taps out, and Angle retains the championship. But yeah, I just thought this is just a match that I'd absolutely love to see, because of, like, Cesaro's athleticism would blend so well with, like, Kurt Angle's unbelievable wrestling ability. So yeah, I think it would be a super fun match, and I want to, and but it's not like the big, big match that you'd have at SummerSlam. This is, like, perfect for a B-level pay-per-view.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of match that I wish I could see. And similar to what I would have done had I gotten them myself, like, I had a whole plan of getting guys of that ilk and just throwing them in the chamber together and making it like the most technically sound elimination chamber that could be.
And then Kurt Angle, after winning, goes to sit at a commentary because he wants to watch the main event, which is the men's Elimination Chamber match to determine who will be the number one contender for his championship at SummerSlam. And I wanted to be a bit like clever with this one in that I saw there was a group of people that I had on my roster that have a connection to Kurt Angle throughout like actual, I guess, quote unquote, legitimate WWE history or TNA history, as it were, in some instances. So I have Shawn Michaels, who obviously had their big feud throughout 2005, WrestleMania 21 and all that stuff. Brock Lesnar, his biggest rival throughout 2003. AJ Styles, arguably his biggest rival from his time in TNA. Tim and Samoa Joe are kind of like one and two in that regard. Big Show, they had plenty of matches with Big Show throughout his time in WWE and won his, I believe, his third WWE championship from Big Show. So there's a history there. Chris Jericho, probably the most tenuous out of all of them, but Angle did win his one and only Intercontinental Championship against Chris Jericho, so there is still a degree of history there. And the one that he technically has no history with, but probably should have history with, is Jack Swagger. And my approach to putting Jack Swagger into this is because I think that you tell the story that Jack Swagger is Kurt Angle's understudy.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's gone into the chamber to basically try and play spoiler for the rest of them and get the win. And so he would then surrender the match to Kurt Angle at SummerSlam so Kurt Angle can just win by forfeit. So that's the whole reason he's been put into there. So you get those six names, combustible elements together. You start off with probably AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, because even though they're both babyfaces, they'll have like a good back and forth with each other. Then you get Jack Swagger in. He starts like just throwing people around in the way that he would do. Then I'd have Shawn Michaels come in and just get involved in all that stuff as well. So that'd be a pretty cool. Like I say, he'll mix it up with like AJ and Chris Jericho and Swagger. And then it kind of like shit hits the fan when Brock Lesnar gets in. And then Brock is just throwing everyone all over the place, just like, he isn't eliminating anyone just yet, but he's just destroying people like left and right, throwing does a belly-to-belly suplex with Shawn Michaels through the glass and all that other stuff. And then when the Big Show comes out, even though in this universe both Big Show and Brock Lesnar are heels, they've kind of still have a bit of animosity towards each other. So they step up. Big Show's able to kind of take Lesnar down a little bit because just his size and power. But then you do, in the same way that in the other women's Elimination Chamber match, Piper Niven's kind of the one that takes all the finishers. Big Show's typically been the guy in previous Elimination Chamber matches, just take a multitude of finishers. You just get like a sweet chin music from Shawn Michaels, then a phenomenal forearm from AJ Styles. Lesnar gets him up for the F5, drops him down. Jericho hits the Lion Soul, and Big Show gets pinned and eliminated. But then Brock Lesnar realizes that, like, it's time for shit to go down, and F5's everyone inside. F5's AJ Styles pins him, F5's Chris Jericho pins him, F5's Jack Swagger pins him. So he's just left with Lesnar and Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels fights from underneath. Lesnar gets him up for the F5. Michaels able to get off, hits three consecutive switchy musics, each one just knocking Lesnar down just slightly more. Eventually the third one knocks him down permanently, gets the pin, and Michaels is going to face Kurt Angle for the title at SummerSlam.
I'd be happy at the end of the night.
That makes a lot of sense. Definitely a well-thought-out chamber, definitely going towards a match that I know we both consider to be one of the best ever to happen at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of everything you got going on there. What a surprise. Yeah. Callum has probably the most well-thought-out card.
I saw that there was an opportunity to do something with Angle as the champion. I was like, because I didn't know whether I was going to make Angle the champion or someone else the champion. immediately and just have Angle in the chamber instead. But once I saw that he had people with like multiple different connections to him, I thought, oh yeah, that's the perfect time to make him the champion and have like these people that all have a kind of a vested story that they can tell with Angle leading into SummerSlam, that it seemed like the perfect choice. So yeah, I was quite happy with the final layout of it. The women's one is a little bit more tenuous because there just wasn't enough big names to choose from, but and so it made the winner quite obvious. But the only alternative would have been I put Piper Niven in the match with Shayna Baszler instead, which still would have been a good match, and then you could have had Mickey and Sasha be a bit more of a which one of those two is going to win. But I thought that I'd rather sacrifice a bit of star power in the chamber to have the Mickey James and Shayna Baszler match, because that just feels a bit interesting to me.
And on the like approach of this being a card where you want to try to make it not just seem like a one match card, then
yeah, exactly.
That upgrades that for sure. Yeah.
And as I say, I thought quite a hefty bit of it about preparing what would happen at SummerSlam for all this stuff as well. So through this card, I probably would set up like, or at least in the immediacy, about four or five matches for SummerSlam straight away. So
you can see that on your screens right now if you're watching on YouTube, the full card that the Callum's presenting. Everything from what I would consider my low point with Umaga and Elias against Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado to
what leftovers.
Yeah, to what I would say is my highlight of the Elimination Chamber match with Michaels winning. I probably would go, more than likely, that would be the match that I'd be the most invested in, although there's a chance that the War Games match or the Angle Cesaro match could steal a show too. High and low, Rob?
Oh yeah, I definitely think my high is the Men's Elimination Chamber or the actual championship match between Cesaro and Kurt Angle. My low, honestly, it's probably the Women's Chamber, because it's just such a foregone conclusion that Sasha going over. And once you see who's fighting for the title on the show, it's a little better. But I kind of feel like that's the nature of the beast, and nothing in particular wrong with what Callum did. But we went over this. Like, a lot of the Elimination Chamber cards are just, oh yeah, one or two people stand a chance and the rest are really just there to fill a pod.
Yeah, Elimination Chamber is a weird pay-per-view in the sense that, like, we, when we book something like, say, a Royal Rumble card, like, we know that that's predominantly going to be the Royal Rumble matches, the highlight, and the Elimination Chamber needs to be the highlight. But you also, if you go to the page, I should probably actually show it on my screen, because I do have the screen share open on there. So you go to smarkoutmoment.com, or you just type smark out like I do because I'm lazy. You go over to the Elimination Chamber stats. You can see on this page how many times the championships changed hands versus how many times the championships were on the line, and how little the Elimination Chamber can actually matter in the grand scheme of things if they're not planning on doing something specific. For instance, there has been a championship up for grabs, I think it was 11 times out of the, let's see, what is it? 23 matches, there's been a championship on the line, and 11 times the titles changed hands, about 50-50. Two of them were vacated. You start to get into like the title shots. Guess how many people, without like taking a look at the list 100%, but out of all the people that have ever won a title shot for WrestleMania, guess how many times they've actually won that title shot?
They've actually won the title?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say
there's been 11 matches for shot at WrestleMania.
I'm going to say twice.
Four out of the 11.
It's twice. It's Bianca and Undertaker.
Oh, is it not? Didn't Roman win his oh, yeah, because he didn't beat Lesnar. I forgot that he didn't beat Lesnar that one, yeah. So that's fine.
So they've had, out of 32 matches. Of course, not every single one of them. A lot of them have been for championships, but only two people that have ever won a title shot out of the 11 of those have actually gone on to win that. So
history. It's the Hell in a Cell curse, where it's like, once you made it a show and you made it, okay, we have to find six bodies, basically, it significantly loses its impact. And now we're here where you have a statistic like that, which is wild, because those two victories are, what are they, like 14 years apart?
Mm-hmm.
So that's insane.
Yeah, just goes to show you that if you win the Royal Rumble, there is a good chance that you win that belt at WrestleMania. Of course, it's not a guarantee. Look at Shinsuke. But if you are only booked to be the backup person that wins the Elimination Chamber, more than likely you're not winning that belt at WrestleMania. So whoever wins the Elimination Chambers this year, like, you know, Becky and maybe Drew or somebody, we're going to have to come back to that next week when we talk about that and talk about how they might not walk out as champion. Still think Damian Priest might end up cashing in, but bouncing back around to my card now, that's hidden on the screen. I said before, I'll explain this a little bit later. I booked two different cards. One of them, they're essentially the same card. It's just I did an alteration and then moved a couple people around, so I'll explain that later. I decided I was going to give myself the extra little challenge of being like, okay, I've got 36 people. I need to book 36 people in Elimination Chamber matches and not do a championship match on the side, not do, you know, a Fatal 4-Way for the mid-card title or anything along those lines. I was like, I'm just going to make myself have to sort that out. And that proved easy in some ways and then hard in some other ways that I didn't anticipate when I started to do that, but I also decided to give myself an extra little challenge of making sure that the matches had some sort of theme or purpose to them that would fit with the way that other Elimination Chamber matches have gone down over the years. So we've seen things before. I've done the statistics work and, you know, put that crap out there on the website and stuff about, like, hey, in every Royal Rumble, there's usually a moment where somebody gets a quick elimination or somebody can turn on their tag team partner or whatever. And I was thinking about how the Elimination Chamber matches can be booked and how you can have a card where there's six Elimination Chamber matches or five in the one case. How do you make them feel different? And it's just not the exact same match five, six times. So I gave myself themes for these. And by that, I mean, we're going to start off with a mid-card championship Elimination Chamber match. So whatever the mid-card title is, call it the Intercontinental for all that matters. It starts off with Rey Mysterio entering at number one and Austin Theory, the champion, entering at number two. Pod number one comes out. It's Hardcore Holly. And it's perfect for fighting both guys because he's predominantly heel, but yeah, he's going to attack Austin Theory too. He's not like his tag team partner or something. Pod number two comes out and it's Booker T, and Austin Theory gets eliminated. So you start off with, okay, wow, it's pretty early in the match and the champion's been taken out. We know we're going to get a new champion crowned. Pod number three opens up, Matt Riddle. He takes out Hardcore Holly. And the final pod comes out and it's Baron Corbin. The big man of the match starts powering through people. Riddle gets eliminated by Corbin. Booker gets eliminated by Corbin. And we're down to the underdog from the very start, the smallest guy in the match, Rey Mysterio, the babyface, against the biggest guy in the match, who ended up in the final spot. And it's, you know, the underdog story going the distance. Rey Mysterio beats Baron Corbin, goes the whole number one through the end of that, and becomes the new mid-card champion.
Yeah, I think it's a good little match, especially if you do have like the underdog starting out pretty early and then getting out and then managing to outlast the big guy that gets the last entry. So it could be, Corbin's always good as like the kind of like the cocky bully at the end of it, just be throwing Mysterio around a little bit, and Mysterio just takes advantage of the fact that he is like super cocky. Yeah, that could work.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it ends up with like he's kind of tossing him around and he's like, you know, who do you think I am? Like, I'm fresh. I just eliminated these two people that are bigger than you and whatever. And then Ray can get like a, you know, reversal or something where it's just kind of like, he got him. Oh, crap. Like, you know, then that starts a feud going forward of Ray against Baron Corbin. And, you know, Austin Theory, I guess, is out of the title picture. But, you know, fuck him in this universe. It's just I didn't plan out too much of everything ahead of time. So I'm not going to. I don't even know where this would take place. Probably WrestleMania, I guess. I don't know. Afterward, that's another element that I didn't bother with. So that's first match is underdog story of new champion guaranteed in the match and all. I didn't want to vacate any titles. I'll spoil that ahead of time, even though there's been two titles that have been vacated for Elimination Chambers before. But we have had the early elimination of a champion. So let's go to another one, different theme here. A theme everybody's pretty familiar with. This one's the Big Man Buffet. Because I had to get that in there in some fashion. This is the Big Man Buffet Elimination Chamber match. It is effectively a number one contenders match. And that starts off with the guy who is coining this, the Big Man Buffet, Big Hungry himself, Ryback. Starting that off, basically saying, feed me more. I'm going to go through everybody on here. And we had just seen the previous match. Rey Mysterio was able to go through everybody. So, hey, look at that. It's proven that it can be done. And he is starting off against Bobby Lashley, who is not one of the traditional, quote, big man type things. But Bobby Lashley's fucking huge, man. And I think that's kind of the overall best way to start off as far as, like, quality of in-ring action. Pod number one comes out. It's Bronson Reed. Big Bronson Reed, I should say. Pod number two comes out, and it is big old Braun Strowman. Get these big hands. Monster among men. Pod number three comes out, and it's Big Daddy Cool, Kevin Nash. And pod number four comes out. It's Mark Henry. All six guys in the ring. Whole lot of beef in the ring, as Gorilla Monsoon would say. It's a good thing that they have the cage fortified. And the story of this match is one of the things that we've seen before, but very rarely. The concept of the Elimination Chamber where nobody gets eliminated yet until everybody's out. So all six people are in the ring. Bronson Reed gets taken out by Mark Henry. In an ideal world, he's going for a tsunami on somebody else. Mark Henry catches him and does the World's Strongest Slam. I highly fucking doubt that could happen. I don't doubt that Mark Henry is strong enough to pull off a lot of great feats, but I don't know if he can catch Bronson Reed midair and then do that. But hey, it's fantasy world. That's what happens. Bobby Lashley gets taken out by Kevin Nash. I'm thinking Lashley's heel, by the way. Almighty Bobby Lashley. Mark Henry gets taken out by all three of the remaining people other than him. So, Strowman, Diesel, and Ryback. Ryback takes gets the pin on that one. Kevin Nash, it gets eliminated by Braun Strowman, and then it's down to Ryback and Braun Strowman. And unfortunately for Ryback, he's had his fill. Braun Strowman beats him, and he is basically your number one contender after winning that. There, I could very easily switch up Braun Strowman and Kevin Nash here. It really doesn't matter. I didn't book that far ahead. So if you like Kevin Nash better, he wins. If you like Braun Strowman better, he wins. Either way, Ryback doesn't win because you got to, you know, have your little disappointment in that way. And Ryback doesn't deserve to beat those people. He could just be the focal point of that. Different variation of the Big Man Buffet, huh?
Yeah.
I wish that there was a world where Babatunde was in an Elimination Chamber just so he could be here because
he's big.
He's the biggest. And all these people were too. That's a lot of fun. I think that would be, like, in an ideal world, this would be the kind of chamber you would have seen in the 80s or 90s where it's like, but there's all this meat in the ring and oh my god. And probably a plotting match, but I could see it being fun.
I think the overall content's good. I'm not too sure about Ryback going the distance. that how that would really work in the grand scheme of things.
I look at it more as he's not necessarily going the distance, but he's wrestling in the match and everybody just keeps going like, oh, another guy, oh, another guy. And it's not like focusing on him as much. And then those eliminations all happen once everybody's already out there. So it's not like he's entrusted to wrestle the same way that Ray would. You know what I mean?
I guess not, but I kind of also feel like just from a pure just wrestling standpoint, you kind of eliminate the two best wrestlers as the first two people in this match.
Reed and that, Lashley.
Yeah, they're the two people that I'd kind of trust to, like, if that someone has to go from start to finish, you'll do. I think those would be probably the first two that I'd put on my list of, like, okay, these ones would be the ones that I'd go for. Especially, it kind of feels out of all of them that outside of Nash, Lashley probably would have the biggest star power out of all of them. So it just felt a bit odd for me that he's just kind of like out pretty quickly in that match compared to the other ones.
The problem I had with it is I wanted him to be early so that he could kind of dictate the best in-ring work. Like, he's kind of the guy that in some ways does the distance. But then I ran into a problem where I was like, oh, well, I don't want to get Henry out too fast and, you know. That's a different story. Then we have our women's elimination chamber match. This is for the women's championship. And that one I have going into this, starting off as the champion is Rhea Ripley, for anybody who's wondering. She's a babyface. But she doesn't start the match. The match starts with Asuka and Mandy Rose. Two completely different styles, but Mandy's gotten better over those years, so let's kind of apply it as, like, you know, the one that knows how to wrestle a little better. Pod number one is heel Carmella. Pod number two is champion babyface Rhea Ripley. Maybe she's not even necessarily like full-on babyface. Maybe it's just like that, you know, everybody fucking likes Rhea Ripley. Carmella gets taken out by Asuka. She is easily the weak link when it comes to that kind of group. So, you know, you got to get an elimination here and there. Mandy Rose gets taken out by Rhea Ripley, which causes the two kind of like in the ring still left as Rhea and Asuka. They get to have a little back and forth. By that point, pod number three opens up and it's Nia Jax who steamrolls both of them. They're both tired. Asuka's gotten through Mandy Rose, Carmella, and been fighting Rhea. Rhea, of course, been fighting Asuka and took out Mandy. And Nia's fresh, and she's bigger than both of them, so she starts doing that stuff, and she takes out Asuka. Everybody's booing. Boo. Awful. Rhea Ripley looks like she's in danger, but that's time for the final pod to open, and it's Raquel Rodriguez. Nia gets eliminated by a combo of Raquel and Rhea working together, and then Rhea successfully retains her title over Raquel. And the story of the match? Not every Elimination Chamber has a big theme to it. This is a straight up normal Elimination Chamber with the champion retaining.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fair, especially with the kind of the women that you had available to you. That's probably the right result.
The most straightforward out of all the things I have.
Yeah.
So here's where we deviate from something, and I will come back to this later on. I then decided to book a tag team championship elimination chamber match. And this one starts off with Damian Priest and Finn Balor in the ring, and Big E with Montez Ford. I didn't get the other members of the New Day, and I also didn't get Angelo Dawkins because Dawkins was not in an Elimination Chamber match. I thought about putting Montez in the mid-card match instead, but then I was like, crap, I don't know who else to put in the tag team thing, and I couldn't think of another scenario around. I also thought about putting Big E in the Big Man Buffet, and then I thought, well, then who do I tag with Montez, or who do I, you know, whatever. So we'll come back to this a little bit later on, but Big E and Montez Ford start off with Damian Priest and Finn Balor. They're having a pretty good match. I like all four of those guys. I think that they could have a, you know, good thing going on here. Pod number one opens up and it's the tag team champions, the Brothers of Destruction, Undertaker and Kane. Big E and Montez Ford are eliminated by Undertaker and Kane. Otis and Tucker, Heavy Machinery, come out next, pod number two. Otis and Tucker are eliminated by Undertaker and Kane. Pod number 3 comes out. Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov are eliminated by Undertaker and Kane. Pod number 4, the final one, we get JBL and Ted DiBiase Jr. Kind of a Money Inc. sort of connection between those two. And they are eliminated by Undertaker and Kane, which means that we are down to the people that started it off, Judgment Day, against Undertaker and Kane, who have been doing all the work and eliminating everybody. And the heels are just about to steal one, but they get eliminated by Undertaker and Kane. Story of this match? A clean sweep.
I mean, that's kind of, that's one way to bury your tag team division, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not planning too much of the future of this, but I do think that it could potentially set up something in the future, like a gimmick match between them and Judgment Day, if it needs to be.
That's, it could be pretty fun. I'm wondering whether it would have been easy to do Team Big E with Booker T, because then they just both have letters at the end of their name.
And they could be ET. They phone home.
Yeah. But
that's really bad.
Yeah, I mean you want to show like the domination of like Kane and Undertaker, which I get, and yeah, there's some good combinations with like both existing tag teams and then ones that you have put together thematically well. Yeah, but I don't know about the whole, like, one team eliminates everyone, because if it was, like, a number of contendership thing, I'd probably understand it a bit more, but the fact that it is the tag team championships and this is seemingly the entirety of your tag team division feels like it's a little bit... This feels like something the Undertaker of 2001 would do.
I could also see this being the type of thing that maybe they've already beaten all these teams, so it's like, okay, well... we'll move on to another one, and it'll be like maybe two of the men in the big man buffet fight them at the next show, and then that's like, okay, now we've maybe like Mark Henry and Bronson Reed are like, no, you know, maybe we should team up and fight those two and, you know, do something like that. And our main event is the men's championship, whatever you want to call it, WWE Universal title, whatever, Elimination Chamber match. The champion going into this is a heel, Roman Reigns. And we start off with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. Of course, Daniel Bryan is naturally an underdog babyface that everybody wants to win the way that he always is. And Randy Orton, typical fashion, like he's going to be a heel almost every single scenario. And they've got history together. And so does pod number one, Batista. So now you have Batista in the ring with Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. And Batista is kind of a tweener in this scenario to me. So he not only goes after Daniel Bryan, and it seems like it's like, oh, okay, it's the two Evolution guys against Daniel Bryan. They're going to put him out. But then he also starts going after Orton because fuck you, I'm not just your tag team partner. Pod number two, John Cena balances it out a little bit. Bryan's got some history with Cena. Cena's got plenty of history with Batista and Orton. So now it's effectively Cena and Bryan against Orton and Batista. Hey, even though we don't get along, we are going to put aside our differences to go up against Cena and Bryan. Another tweener comes in here, Drew McIntyre. He has no allegiances to anybody, but he's just going to do his thing. And he eliminates Batista, takes out the big man. Drew McIntyre, though, catches an RKO from Randy Orton. Randy Orton is then eliminated by John Cena in time for the final pod to open, heel Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief. They have their back and forth. It's Cena, Bryan, and Roman. So you got two big babyface types against the awful heel champion. John Cena gets taken out by Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel Bryan gets taken out by Roman Reigns. Story of this match is when they do the thing where the Elimination Chamber eliminations are in succession. So it's like Batista taken out by Drew, Drew taken out by Orton, Orton taken out by Cena, Cena taken out by Bryan, Bryan taken out by Roman. Also, the heel that ends the match, who gets the lucky final advantage and ends up basically winning because it's like, oh, you got fucking lucky. You positioned yourself in number six. So boo, but at the same time, you've got your number one contender in either Strowman or Diesel or whatever you want to do with the Big Man Buffet babyface. How's that guy going to go up against that one when he went through all the big men, that kind of a thing. So that's one variation of my card. The alternative variation of that card was if I wanted to split up the tag team match and make this a six elimination match, elimination chamber thing. Most of it would be the same. One of the only differences that I have, I then have to split up the tag teams and make, you know, a sixth card. So the variation that I did was I took the JBL and Ted DiBiase team. I put JBL in the mid-card title thing, and I moved Baron Corbin over to a different match. I've got most of the tag team people are in a number one contenders match for the mid-card title. So that would be Santino, Vladimir Kozlov, Otis, Tucker, Ted DiBiase, and Montez, which would probably be won by Ted DiBiase Jr. The mid-card title thing would still be won by Rey Mysterio. It would just be JBL as the heel at the end instead of Baron Corbin. Women's match, same. Big Man Buffet now has, instead of Reed, Lashley, Henry, and, you know, whatever, instead of Lashley, it's Big E. I mean, he's big. He matters. And I took one of Rob's ideas, the Chamber of Horrors thing, and I applied that to a match with Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Undertaker, Kane, Baron Corbin, and Randy Orton. That would be an alternative number one contenders type thing or something. Or maybe just a feud. I don't know. I didn't really think too far about that. Which then means Bobby Lashley gets moved to the men's Elimination Chamber match, and it's Orton out, Lashley in. Batista, Lashley, McIntyre, Bryan, Cena, Reigns. With Reigns winning and, you know, basically doing the same thing. So for anybody that's watching on YouTube, you can see the full card here. You can see my breakdown of all my story elements. And then you can see my second variation of the card over there. Between those two, I don't know which one I like better. The thing that hangs me up the most is what's that other, like the Big Man Buffet versus the one that the Undertaker would win. Which one's the number one contender and what's the other thing for? If I could figure that out, I would like that card better, I think. But I didn't plot that out as much. So that's my everything's got to be an Elimination Chamber type card.
Well, I think that's a really fun concept. It would get old very quickly. Like, TNA Lockdown never did well because after a while, it's just like, okay, I've seen all the cage matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was a lot of fun. Some wacky ideas, but also really well thought out stuff. The thing with Taker and Kane running through everybody is just literally a WWE booking idea. Like, that's something that they would absolutely do. Probably my highlight for you is your men's chamber, your world title chamber with Batista, McIntyre, Bryan, and Reigns, and then. I like that. But I also just really like seeing you shoehorn Big Man Buffets into things. Stupid.
There will be a Big Man Buffet on every single card that I have, unless it is quite literally impossible to do, where it's like, all right, we've got six people on the card and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that the fact that you decided to handicap yourself additionally by making sure that every match was an Elimination Chamber, I think it's a good structure overall. Yeah, your men's world title Elimination Chamber match is like very, very stacked in terms of star power, so that's probably the favourite match of mine. Personally, I'm not a big fan of this particular iteration of the Big Man Buffet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not it's just certain names involved just make me feel like it's not going to be as fun, and it's not like, unfortunately, you have to see them wrestle in this one because it can't just be a battle royal throwing people over the top rope where you don't really have to do too much and just have big people throwing people around. This one, they actually have to do stuff, so I don't know if that's actually going to work out that well.
One other alternative that I was thinking about doing, and I didn't follow through with it enough to create a third variation of this card, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll, you know, do a random little dark cast thing or something. But I thought about making that just a special attraction. And then kind of the way that, like, I have my second version of the card where it was like the Undertaker match thing, that would be the number one contender thing. And then instead of having the number one contender for the mid-card title and the whatever, that the big man buffet match would be more that's like a comedy match. And I thought about having Otis, Tucker, Big E. And then I was kind of like, oh man, who else do I put in there? Because who do I sacrifice? Because I know Ryback's in there, but I still need two more. And when I looked at the group, I was like, who is funny? Why would they be doing it? I leaned a little bit more towards Kozlov and Corbin, or maybe just actually putting Reed and Strowman in there still or whatever. And then I didn't really like hash it out too much, but that was another alternative that maybe I'll do a third variation of this. And it's like, all right, big man buffet is like midway through the pay-per-view. That's the funny match. And it's got a funny guy in Big E, two funny guys in Otis and Tucker, a funny-esque, even if he doesn't realize that he's being funny guy in Ryback. And maybe that could be number one contender for the mid-card title or something like that. But then I'd have to start, where do I put Santino? He's not in the big man buffet. Or is he in the big man buffet in a weird way because he suddenly got in there and it makes no sense that he's in the big man buffet? I don't know. Big man buffet, of course, I wrote down at the start of this, women's elimination chamber match, big man buffet, ? Men's elimination chamber match. Cause I'm like, all right, I know the three I'm building around. And then it kind of just, the rest of it fell through. Somebody like an Austin Theory wasn't necessarily going to be too high on the card, but he was definitely going to be a higher spot than Bob Holly. And I couldn't figure out a way to put Undertaker in the men's chamber match without it just being Undertaker wins a number one contenders thing or something. But I thought that this was kind of a fun one to do because I did have that handicap that I put on myself. And sometimes it's a little bit more interesting than to just go straightforward and say, like, all right, Roman's my champion. This is who he's fighting. This is the number one contender. This is the mid-card champion. So I want to play around with more of these ideas. And I want us to, if we get a chance sometime soon, I don't know, maybe we come back around to this another year. I definitely want us to try to figure out our ultimate card for Elimination Chamber based off of these people, because I think we could come up with a really good combo card. Maybe it's all chamber matches. Maybe it's not. Love to see that down the line. But let us know what you guys had to say about this. What were your favorite matches? Who do you think's got the best card? What would you have booked? What were you thinking that we were going to do that you were kind of surprised about? You know, whatever it might be. You could see again on your screen. I'm going to show all three of our cards, or all, I guess all four of our cards. Just as a reminder, pause the screen if you want to take a look and write down your responses that way. But yeah, that's our responses of our mock draft when we started off with these people on our rosters. Another fun experiment. I always love doing these things. Hopefully you guys enjoy them too. Leave your thoughts. And as far as Robin Callum are concerned, anything else you guys want to toss out about this before we wrap it all up?
I think it's really interesting to see. And I know I beat this drum a lot today, but the legacy of the chamber isn't as strong as it is in my brain. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, oh, the chamber is one of the most important matches. And then you get to where you see who we actually have on our rosters and you go, maybe not. But it's still a very fun experiment. Love doing these. Hope we get to do more soon.
Yeah, it's just a general thing of saying that the mock draft is some of the most fun and interesting podcast that we do. So, yeah, looking forward to the next one that we have lined up, whenever that would end up being.
No definitive game plan right now for the next mock draft, but we're always taking suggestions. So if people do want us to do something, usually we kind of go like theme-based, but then we don't necessarily have to, you know, just because we did this one based off of Elimination Chamber doesn't mean we need to do a mock draft about Backlash around Backlash or something like that. But we probably will come back around to this at the very least for the WWE, AEW, TNA New Japan Forbidden Door thing that people have been suggesting before. We were tossing around the idea the other day of about doing a 5-year mock draft of the anniversary of AEW with Double or Nothing, or maybe a top rope list, or, you know, we could do some kind of variation of that, Wrestling with the Past, you know, some kind of 5-year thing with that. But at random, you could always just decide to do the Pick Your Poison tier or something and be like, hey, how about you guys do a mock draft of shit? You could pick the random people and then have that be a completely random mock draft, or you can have a different theme in mind. If it's like you could only pick people that have their first or their last name starts with an R, and it's like, all right, Rock, Roman, Rollins, Rhodes, you know, that kind of a thing. Or we could still do one of those ideas that I've had perpetually on the back burner that, yeah, I haven't done the legwork for it, but I still kind of want us to do at some point a mock draft of animal people where you have to go like Road Warrior Animal, the Animal Batista, I'm going to do Mantar. It only counts as half, like that kind of thing.
Why do you keep going there?
Because it tickles me. So, yeah, maybe we do something completely silly like that. I don't know. It's kind of up to you guys if you have any suggestions or interests or Pick Your Poison type stuff. So keep all that in mind. Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Make sure that you are following us on Facebook and Twitter at Smarkout Moment. Make sure you are on the Darkcast tier over there on either Patreon or YouTube. Check out everything that's happening outside of Smarkout Moment. You know, Blueprint stuff is always out there on fanboysanonymous.com. We also have, you know, all the other Smarketplace related material that's out there, but we also have the Discord. Check that out on the sidebar, smarketmoment.com, and check out everything under the link tree. Go to amangotree.com. You'll see links to everything else. Like and follow and favorite and share and subscribe, all that stuff, including me at Tony Mango. Follow Robin Callum as well.
Yep, follow me everywhere at Dude Felice. And you can check out my work on Fightful.com. And that's it for now. But here's Callum.
You can find me on Twitter at WigGlost14. You can check out the Power Rankings every Saturday over on SmartCamera.com, where I'm ranking the WWE Superstars every week. And also there, you can check out the Fantasy League or at WWEFantasyLeague.com to see how our teams are doing, who's picking up points heading into Elimination Chamber, and as we're on the kind of final stretch before WrestleMania.
Okay, everybody, that's down for the matchmaker fantasy booking side of the, you know, alternative to the mock draft stuff. So we will see you next up with the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view point predictions and preview for 2024 coming up later on this week, probably recording that maybe Wednesday. Stay tuned for that. And we will see you then. Adios for now, though, everybody. This has been another Smart Cat Moment, and we are being counted out.